I hope I didn't. I'm not the host.
You would have had to have a code.
I was just wanting to make sure I'm on while I'm doing some other things here.
Thanks for joining. We'll start in a few minutes.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
West, I just heard the prompt saying this call was being recorded.
Yeah, hi. Kathy's here.
Hey, Kathy.
Kathy, thank you for starting our call up. I appreciate that.
Who's on?
This is West, and we have Bruce as well, and a few other people are just starting to join.
Okay. Well, I wanted to try to keep a record here for everybody who's on.
All right. Well, I know we had Karen, and if you want to just say your name quickly when you call in, we'll try to take a few notes here.
Sure. This is Karen Callahan, New York, from Manhattan.
Hi, this is Natalie Cruz. It's probably under Natalie Ratliff, but should be changed to Cruz, and I'm from Illinois.
Dave Lopez from Nebraska.
This is Shalili Jahan, and I'm calling you from the state of Georgia.
Yeah, keep checking in.
Here from Tennessee.
I'm sorry, who is that?
J.K. Sims from Tennessee, Nashville,
okay.
Franklin.
This is Kevin Shad from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Keep calling out your names as you check in. We'll make our notes.
Hi, Jody Dishman from Oklahoma City.
Jason Kovalt from Phoenix, Arizona.
Anyone else not check in yet?
Jonathan Handler from Boston, Massachusetts.
Paul Barker from San Antonio.
Great. Anyone else? We're getting close. Go ahead and introduce yourself when you call in. We're almost complete.
This is Steve Wygand.
Steve, and the state you're calling from?
Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Steve, okay. And then Natalie, hang on, I'm finding you.
Okay.
You said, yes, it is under Ratliff, and you need me to change that to Cruz, you said?
Yes, C-R-U. That's okay. It's C-R-U, S as in Sam, E.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I got that changed now.
And we have several more. Go ahead and check in.
This is Wayne Ewing from Louisiana.
Mary Pinkle from Alaska.
Richard Martin from Tampa, Florida.
Laura Connell from Busan.
Thanks, Laura.
Laura
Connell from Arizona. She just checked in.
Thank you.
Hey. Jason Blanchard from Southern District of Georgia.
David Weinstein from the Southern District of Florida, Miami.
Hi, it's Phil Calabrese from the Northern District of Ohio in Cleveland.
Anyone else not check in yet?
Rob Clark from Utah.
Thanks, Rob.
And Sharon King from the Western District of Louisiana.
And then, I'm sorry, you're on the Government Relations Committee. You just said your name. The other, who joined the call? Who's on the committee? Who's on the GRC?
This is West. This is West Allen, our chair, and Bruce Moyer is also on the phone, our counsel.
So I think somebody else came on.
Yes, this is Karen King.
Before Karen.
Rob Clark from Utah is also on.
Yeah.
And Phil on. And Phil Calabrese from Ohio, who's on our committee as well.
You, Calabrese, are you on the GRC, on the GR committee?
Yes.
So, okay, because you're not on the Capitol Hill Day registration list.
I don't know why I should be. I'm planning to.
Okay, I put you I put you on here because I recognized your name from somewhere else and made the connection that you were on the committee but not on the list yet. So that's how come when I heard your name, it clicked. So I'm going to add you to the list. Would you tell me what state you're in?
I am in the Northern District of Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
Thanks, Phil. We're about to begin. Anybody else not check in? We thank you, Kathy, for keeping track of all those names. We have quite a good group today. All right. If anyone, go ahead.
I'm sorry. If I could just, like, call out the last names real quick. I want to make sure I got everybody. Is that all right?
Go ahead.
Okay. Bart Hurst, Blanchard, Callahan, Clark, Conover, Cobalt, Dishman, Ewing, Handler, King, Lopez, Martin, Hinkle, Cruz, Shad, Sims, Wiegand, and Weinstein, and then Phil Calabrese. Did I miss anybody?
This is Tara Bay. I just got on a minute ago.
Okay, Tara, got you.
Anyone else not check in?
Yep, Jason Cyphers from Nevada.
Okay.
Thanks, Jason. Kathy, I think we're ready to begin. Are you good?
Yeah, I think that got everybody.
All right. If anyone hasn't checked in, be sure we get your name at the end. We'll make one more announcement at the end to try to get anyone who calls in late. This is West Allen, everyone, Chair of the Government Relations Committee. We also have Bruce Moyer on the phone. We're grateful for you taking some time. We recognize this is a sacrifice for all of you. We want to be efficient with your time, so we'll go through our materials as quickly as we can. First, on behalf of the Government Relations Committee and the FBA, we want to thank each of you for your willingness to contribute in this important way for the work of the FBA. All of you are leaders in your community. Each one of you hopefully is now or will, after this call, go arrange for a time to meet with your national legislators. And it really, if you haven't done it before, you'll find to be an extremely rewarding experience. It's the way our republic is set up, that the people are listened to carefully by their representatives, and we just happen to assist in that process by giving you some information and materials that really will strengthen the independence of our federal judiciary and do a good work. And so we're anxious and looking forward to having all of you join us in our endeavor in a few weeks. For those who have done it before, we may even call upon you in a few minutes to give some of your testimonies about the good day it can be. For those who haven't done it before, we know that you're in for an exceptional experience. It's a civic experiment that you won't forget. It is something that really is a memory that you'll keep and treasure up as you're in your professional career for a long time. We want to really direct everyone's attention today as we begin to the materials you received. Bruce Moyer, who's going to introduce all of us to the briefing handbook for 2018, we want you to kind of go through that, have it perhaps up on your computer screen so we can walk you through it. It is going to be an eventful day, a very busy day, which will require all of you to do a little bit of work in preparation before we start. We also want to just note that one of the most important things that we'll do, apart from discussing with legislators the work of the FBA, the issues that we're going to present to them, when you're done with them, we'll go through here today the things you should do after your meetings, which includes appropriate thank you notes, keeping that relationship alive and well. One of the best things that we do through this committee and this process on Capitol Hill Day is we forge and strengthen relationships with our national legislators. They need to, and perhaps not often enough, hear from community leaders like yourselves, and we want to make sure that your respective chapters continue this relationship for years to come, whoever is in office in your local jurisdictions. And the way to begin that process, which some of you are following in the footsteps of others right in front of you, is that those in front of you have gone and met with, you know, representatives from Ohio and Georgia and Florida and Arizona, and you're carrying on that tradition that hopefully we can keep alive for many years to come. Well, with that, we want to get right into the work of the day, and that's going through the packet. And we have the one of the preeminent experts at Capitol Hill with us. It's, of course, Bruce, who's been doing this much of his career, highly respected among legislators on Capitol Hill, and I'll turn the time over to him to go through the briefing handbook. Bruce.
Thank you, West, and good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your participation on this call and in Capitol Hill Day. You will find this to be a very fulfilling experience, and it is a demonstration of democracy at work, and in particular, the First Amendment and the presentation of grievances to our government. I'd like to start off at the start of the handbook with the instructions on page 2 of the of this handbook. This handbook, I might say, was developed last year as a compilation of materials that we were providing to folks in the past Capitol Hill days that had never been consolidated into one holistic document the way this is this year around. We hope that with the preparation that you'll have between now and Capitol Hill Day that you'll come on that day armed and fully informed on the issues, and that when we gather before you set off to your meetings, that we will at that time deal with any last minute questions and concerns, but all the training and mastery of the issues will be accomplished before that time. I would suggest that you print out this book into an easy three-ring binder presentation. It's easier to work with in that manner, but however you find useful, it's up to you. Also, with regard to the scheduling of your meetings, on page 10 of the materials, there is a spreadsheet there of the attendees who've registered for Capitol Hill Day. That list will continue to be updated as more people register between now and then, and we will continue with Kathy's help to continue to provide you updated lists of the registrants. Why do we want you to continue to have those? Because we want to make sure that you are in touch with other advocates coming from your state, and that your meetings, particularly with your senators, are organized among you so that there will be only one meeting by a state delegation with each senator and not multiple meetings. And, of course, with House members, the same. But the greatest potential for duplication arises in the scheduling of Senate meetings. So please be sure to be in touch with the others from your state to assure that you're coordinated and know where each other are going, and that you all are participating in the same meetings, particularly with your Senate lawmakers. Also, use the opportunity before coming to Washington to be in touch with your chief judge of your district, both to let him or her know of your efforts and the FBA's work in, once again, hitting the hill on Capitol Hill Day and communicating and educating Congress on these issues of importance to the federal bar and to the federal judiciary, and get their feedback on some of these topics that we'll be talking about. It will be very useful in terms of your relationship with the chief judge, that you have that that colloquy with them. Also, be sensitive in knowing whether your congressional lawmakers, both in the House and the Senate, are on either the House Judiciary Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, or the House or Senate Appropriations Committees, including the subcommittee that provides funding for the federal courts, and that's the Subcommittee for Financial Services. We have included rosters of the membership of each of those six committees, and would ask you to review those rosters to see where there is a match insofar as lawmakers or staff with whom you'll be meeting that may have membership on those important committees that both oversee the federal courts, as well as provide funding for the federal courts.
Also, in a very practical way, make sure that you're aware of what the weather is going to be as you pack to come to Washington, and particularly be sure to bring along a comfortable pair of shoes for Capitol Hill Day. You're going to be doing a fair amount of walking that day, and be sure your attire, although professional, also is comfortable. There are a couple of other elements on these key instructions that are pretty straightforward, and I'll refrain from covering those any further. Just be mindful of them. What I'd like to do in the remainder of the time is to walk through the key points in the rest of the book, and particularly drill down into our issues and answer any questions that you may have about the four issues that we're going to be taking to Capitol Hill. Those four issues are briefly presented in the issues brief on page 5 of the materials entitled 2018 Public Policy Priorities. The reason why that is a draft at this point is that we are still fine-tuning this just a bit. I might note that there is a something that we've already corrected insofar as the very first item with regard to the push for adequate funding for our federal courts, that the judiciary's budget request for FY19 of $7.2 billion reflects an increase of 3.2% above the fiscal year 2018 appropriation, not 3.9%, 3.2%. The four issues are, as I said, the need for adequate funding for our federal courts. That's an appropriations issue. Second, judicial vacancies and the need for the president and the Senate to take prompt action in filling historically high levels of vacancies on the federal bench. Keeping in mind that the federal bar's greatest interest in this issue of judicial vacancies is to assure that vacancies are filled promptly. We do not take positions with regard to rating or evaluating or endorsing judicial candidates. That matter of the consideration of their credentials and their qualifications is attended to both by the president in nominating individuals worthy of serving on the bench, and the due diligence that the Senate and its Judiciary Committee applies to the review of those qualifications. So we take the view, let the Constitution work as it's intended, both in terms of the nomination of candidates as well as the implementation and of the advice and consent authority of the Senate. Nonetheless, there are a high number of vacancies, approaching 150 district and circuit vacancies. And that spells problems for the courts insofar as the prompt administration of justice. And we'll get to that a little bit more when we get to that material in the book. The third issue is the need to establish additional judgeships, particularly in 5 district courts that are described, identified there on page 6, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. The fourth issue is the one of establishing an Article I immigration court, and we have had that on the agenda at times in the past, and we put that back on the agenda this year because of our now having a draft bill that we are trying to give some profile on to begin to move and have it introduced as legislation in the Congress. We will be getting a final version of this book to you closer to Capitol Hill Day that will have the final version of the issue brief and the final version of the suggested talking points for the congressional meetings that follow on pages 7 and 8. Those talking points, you can think of them as a bit as a script. It should be in your own words. We have places that we've indicated there where we believe you could add examples from your own experience, of your own district or circuit's experience, as it applies to examples of good stewardship in the use of the resources the courts have received from Congress, or in vacancies insofar as their impact upon your court's ability to dispense justice promptly, the degree of a backlog that your court has in particularly in civil cases, and the impact that that has upon the public's expectations of prompt justice and the impact it has upon litigants themselves. In the Capitol Hill Day information there that begins on page 9, of course, a roster of the all the participants thus far on Capitol Hill Day. We'll be getting those updated to you as more people register. Last year we had, I think about by the time of Capitol Hill Day, we had about 65 people registered for the event, so we're hopeful that we'll have more registrants sign up between now and then. The schedule for the day is on page 12. There will be a group coming from the hotel over to the Senate office building, 106 Dirksen, where we'll have continental breakfast available for you from 8 to 9. We'll do a call to action and a kickoff sharply at 9 o'clock, take a photo of the group, answer your last-minute questions and any other details we need to attend to, so that by 9:45 you can depart for your meetings with House and Senate offices and begin your day. I want to underscore again that you are responsible for scheduling your meetings with House and Senate offices, and that you should expect a meeting to last approximately 15 to 30 minutes. You should try to get the meeting with the lawmaker, but to be aware that that their schedules with hearings, particularly in the morning, can sometimes crowd out their availability, and that speaking with their staff that are associated with their judiciary or law and law enforcement responsibilities, however they caption them in the office, can sometimes be just as substantive, if not more so, a discussion with staff as with the lawmaker. Be sure to take pictures of your meetings with particularly lawmakers. We'd like to include them in the materials for Capitol Hill Day. You're on your own, basically, between 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. We'll hope that you'll return for the debriefing that we plan to have at from 3:30 to 4:30. We're looking forward to having Mike Davis, the Judicial Nominations Counsel for the Senate Judiciary Committee, join us for a portion of that time to share some impressions of where they are in the nominations process and to receive your feedback from your visits. Some tips of do's and don'ts there on pages 13 and 14. Please review those. A map of Capitol Hill on page 15, which lays out the Senate side at the top part of the diagram, the map in the three Senate office buildings, Russell, Dirksen, and Hart. And then on the other side, the House side of the Hill, with the three House office buildings, Rayburn, Longworth, and Cannon. With the Capitol in between. We suggest you try as much as you can to do your two Senate meetings back-to-back and then your House meeting or meetings in addition to that, so that you're not bouncing back and forth from one side of the Hill to the other like a pinball in a less efficient manner. There are tunnels underneath the House and Senate office buildings that we encourage you to use rather than having to leave the building exterior-wise and then have to re-enter and go through security once again. There are not tunnels that are generally available to the public between the Senate and the House. You will need to have to rise up to the surface of ground level to be able to traverse that distance. Some ideas for lunch options on page 16, then a roster of the Senate Judiciary Committee beginning on page 17, and with the House Judiciary Committee following that. That brings us into the material for our issues themselves, beginning with issue number one, adequate funding for the federal courts. We've been very appreciative of the resources that Congress has made available to the courts in the last several years. The courts have received their pretty much their full funding mark. And that's been a tribute both to the court's stewardship of their resources, but also I think to the continued support that the federal bar is the foremost constituency of the federal courts has provided through Capitol Hill Day and other expressions of support for the appropriations request of the federal judiciary. The materials that follow at page 26 in support of the 3.2% increase are the judiciary's materials there on pages 26 through 29. You don't need to become a master of all of that detail, but certainly wants you to have those materials available, and with particular the degree to which cybersecurity and other technology requirements are being facilitated by this 3.2% increase in the judiciary's appropriations request, in addition to regular inflationary expectations. Moving on, in light of time, to judicial vacancies. This is really one of our core issues, and quite frankly, the biggest problem right now lies in the pileup, the logjam, of nominees who have already been cleared through the Senate Judiciary Committee and await a final vote on the floor. There are, at this point, 32 nominees who have cleared all the way through. All they are waiting for is one final floor vote. And that delay has been due to, at this time, Democratic obstruction, a new continuation of the obstruction by the minority. The Republicans did much the same thing when they were in the minority. It's been a 30-year-old war over judicial nominations. And despite the elimination of the judicial filibuster, despite the pullback on the use of the blue slip, Democrats are using the last procedural weapon available to them, and that is a 30-hour invocation of debate time requested for every judicial nominee. That is gumming up the scheduling of bills and other work on the Senate floor, using up way too much floor time simply to come up with a vote of approval for each of these judicial nominees. So we'll never whittle down this mountain of vacancies without more prompt action by the Senate, either in requiring the majority leader, requiring the Senate to remain in session and not go home on weekends to get out of its Tuesday to Thursday work schedule, and whittle down the vacancies that exist. Another option is for them to change the rules to eliminate or reduce the amount of debate time that would be available. However, I think the majority is aware that they will at some point in the future be in the minority. Not necessarily next year, but there will come a time, possibly as early as next year, in which the tables are reversed and they're aware that the shoe could be on the other foot. So they are somewhat, I think, gun shy about changing the rules as the Democrats had in changing the rules eliminating the judicial filibuster back in 2013. Our point is we're staying out of politics in this matter. There's plenty of blame to be spread around on the problem. It's more a matter of solving it and moving nominees through the advice and consent process of the Senate in order to assure that the bench is fully staffed. After all, whenever the Senate or the Congress approves any additional judgeships, it's based on the workload needs of a district or a circuit, assuming that all judgeships are filled. So right now, when we are dealing with nearly 18% of the federal bench being vacant, that is far, far apart from the assumptions of full staffing of the federal bench that the Congress uses when they look at establishing additional judgeships. And that same standard should apply to the day-to-day administration of both the Senate's work as well as the work of courts. On page 40, a little bit of background information about judicial vacancies. 41, some prep questions that you should be aware of as to whether, as I said before, whether your lawmaker is on the Judiciary Committee or the Appropriations Committee, how many vacancies exist in your own district, in your own state, in your own circuit. There are materials that we've made available to you starting at page 52 of the book that provide, these are simply a printout that you can get the same information off of the United States Court's website that lists the vacancies that exist district to district, circuit to circuit. Please be prepared in your meetings to point out examples of how vacancies are disruptive of prompt justice. And I know I accented this once earlier in my remarks, but I want to do it again. Make it as real as possible in your discussions of your experience and your insight above and beyond the more theoretical, if you will, talking points that we have here in the book. Also on page 42, a little bit of material that we provided to you concerning FBA chapter engagement in the judicial nominations process. This is a page that can particularly be helpful to you if you have vacancies in your own state that are without a nominee and are still being looked at or considered in terms of names that the senators, your home state senators, will provide to the White House. If your chapter can be helpful in that vetting process or in any way identifying candidates, take that opportunity, if it's attuned to your own, the culture of your own chapter, to be helpful as the situation warrants. This is a process that differs from state to state in how home state senators identify and vet and recommend individuals for nominations. It is not a one-size-fits-all approach, but there may be opportunities for your own chapter to be more useful in the process and for you to elevate that opportunity in your meeting. Page 42 contains the latest, or 43, the latest update from the Senate Judiciary Committee of nominees that have been cleared by the Senate, as well as those who await confirmation votes, those 32 that are in what's called the queue, the line, on the executive calendar for action by the Senate, 4 circuit nominees, 28 district nominees, and then others that are in the pipeline of the process, including U.S. attorneys and U.S. marshals. We have not applied much attention to the U.S. attorney and marshal slots, but that's included for your own information as to where those are. in the overview of the process. The term judicial emergencies is sometimes used. That refers to the situation concerning a vacancy that's associated with a judgeship that either has high caseloads or has been vacant for a considerable period of time, or both. And the definition for a judicial emergency is laid out there on page 66. And the identification of those districts where emergencies exist is on page 62, identifying those 68 emergencies that exist. Be sure you're aware of whether you've got judicial emergencies in your own territory. The third issue, additional Article III judgeships, realistically, it will be difficult for additional judgeships to be established by Congress in the remainder of this Congress. However, it helps us to elevate the need for action on vacancies by pointing out the fact that there are not only the problem of vacancies, but even beyond that, even if they were filled, that there are additional need for additional judgeships, with the fact that there has not been a comprehensive judgeships bill since nearly three decades ago in 1990, and that the numbers of cases that have been filed in the courts of appeals and in the district courts has risen considerably, close to 40%. In that time since 1990. There have been some piecemeal judgeships, particularly along the border, that have been created, but the last permanent judgeships, in fact, were created as far back as 2002. There are five districts in particular that are struggling with extraordinarily high workloads, and those are the Eastern District of Texas, the Eastern District of California, the Southern District of Indiana, the Western District of Texas, and the Southern District of Florida. And those have been highlighted by the Judicial Conference of the United States as demanding particular action, immediate action. If there is any chance that any judgeships would be more readily established, we would hope that it would start with those five districts. So if you are from those states, we'd ask you to be particularly attuned to making the case for those and getting the views and reactions of your lawmakers to the situation at hand and what they are doing to try to create greater interest and support for a judgeships bill. The recommendations made in 2017, last year, by the Judicial Conference for a number of additional permanent judgeships, 52 district judgeships and five appeals judgeships. The chart laying out those 57 permanent judgeships is contained there at page 70. Be mindful of any additional judgeships that pertain to your own state and districts, and the recommendation of the Judicial Conference in the same manner. Yes, please.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but when you're talking about these are Article III district court judges, right? Not magistrate judges.
That's right. That's okay. Right. These are all, only Article IIIs that we're talking about. Yes. Lastly, the case for the establishment of an Article I immigration court. Since 2013, the Federal Bar Association has supported the establishment of an Article I immigration court to replace the current adjudicative apparatus within the Department of Justice for immigration cases, and to take those out of justice and move it into a newly established independent Article I court called the United States Immigration Court. More recently, the Federal Bar has drafted legislation to accomplish that establishment of an Article I court. We've been at work on this concept for the last 5 years. And before that time, the immigration section discussed it extensively under its broad tent to create consensus of support for an Article I court. I review the chronology of that in order to underscore a point that you should be sure to underscore, and that is that our support for an Article I court is not a reflexive action towards any particular action or development of this current administration. It is rather a much broader reaction to the growing backlog of cases, now numbering over 600,000 cases before EOIR within the Justice Department, that we believe, and based upon a consensus of private attorneys, immigration judges, Board of Immigration Appeals members, Justice Department litigators, and other federal agency attorneys, that the best approach towards whittling down that backlog lies not only in the infusion of more resources, but in the creation of a more stable, more professional cadre of judges in an independent Article I court established by Congress. That would have two levels of review, both at the trial level and at the appeal level, as currently exists within EOIR. But hopefully without the bureaucracy that is associated with EOIR, and secondly, a more professional approach towards the administration of justice, towards case management, and a more fair and consistent process in accord with due process. The Government Accountability Office issued a report in 2017 that documented many of the problems that are resident with EOIR and its inefficiencies and ineffectiveness. We included on page 77 of the handbook the highlights page of that report. And you're certainly encouraged to take a closer look at that report, GAO-17-438, that you could find on the web. You'll find in there that the stakeholders with whom GAO met with and during the audit for this report, the consensus of those stakeholders was that an independent Article I court represented the best restructuring and alternative for replacement of EOIR. So those are the talking points on pages 74, 75, and 76. Our belief is that that certainly justice can be cheaper, fairer, and prompter through an Article I court, and that any more technical questions that come up, we will be most happy to respond to those. And to, if you're uncertain of the answer to that in a technical way about the court, let the staff of the lawmaker know that you'll be getting back to them, and we'll be happy to confer further with you to get you the answer. A summary of the legislation is on page 78 of the bill. We did not include in your packet the actual bill itself, but we'll be happy to provide that to you independent of this handbook for your accessibility if you'd like to share that any further with anyone either before, during, or following your meetings on Capitol Hill. So that completes a quick review of the four issues and your time on the Hill, and I'll turn it back to you, West, for questions and any other ways that we can be helpful, whether it involves helping you with scheduling meetings or anything else that involves the content of the day.
Thanks, Bruce. And that's the next point. I wanted to make sure all of you, whether you've done this many, many times or this is your first time, that you have no issues with how to schedule an appointment with your legislator. I hope at this time that most of you have started to do that. Most of you perhaps are getting finalized your meeting time with your legislators. Are there any questions as to the topics that Bruce raised, or the any questions concerning how one goes about scheduling a meeting with their legislator? Bruce, I know we didn't have in the packet this time any, you know, like a sample email or letters about how you, one does that. I think most on this call are certainly sophisticated enough and our leaders in the community to know how to do that. But if anyone has some concerns, the trickiest thing, of course, is when you come from a state where there are more than one person attending, like Florida, Ohio often, and I think we had a couple from Georgia. All of you that are combining with another person, be sure to work out, especially with dealing with the senators, work out the time that you'll be going jointly to have that meeting.
Thank you, Wes, for raising that. Yeah, I think we had included in the confirmation email that Kathy Barry had sent to you for when you first signed up for Capitol Hill Day, notice of this call, and I think we had included a spreadsheet of schedulers and a draft scheduling request. But if any of you have missed that or would like those materials, once again, we'll be happy to send those out to you promptly.
Excellent. Well, we're making good time. We want to try to definitely keep our call to an hour. I'll emphasize one thing that Bruce said that I, in my experience, has been just critical when you go meet with legislators. They see a lot of tourists. You guys, all of you, are more than that. You certainly are educated and leaders of your communities. And when you can convey to a legislator, usually a staffer, but someone who has the ear of the legislator in these matters, when you can convey to them the difficulties that you see as a federal litigator or the troubles that you see judges going through, which they're not quick to speak about, but you see as a friend or as an attorney in the community, they will listen. And they feel your passion and your zeal because you know what you're talking about. And feel free to recognize yourself as an expert in this area. You, all of you, are on the front line for understanding why we need excellence in the federal judiciary and why we need the best men and women who are willing to serve in our federal judiciary. And when you have people who, you know, sit around in a state of the twilight zone for a year because nomination doesn't go through, there's a lot of good people who say no thank you. And all that is part of the big picture of how we sustain and keep excellent our federal courts, and this is a big part of that. So your real-world examples are going to be just critical as you convey these facts. Be sure to incorporate your story that is told in a way that is not forgettable to these folks who will be talking to their senators, if the senators aren't there in front of you, to say, you know, understand that we need to get things moving. Especially those of you who will be meeting with members of the current leadership or even leadership in the minority, be sure to convey your desire to not have things be slowed down. That, you know, if you're a Republican, that you put everybody's kind of head to the shoulder to the wheel and get this hearing and make people stay over the weekends if they have to. And if you're meeting with Democrats, to say, look, our judges are hurting. When you think it's okay to slow the walk all of this, we have people who are up in the 4 a.m. writing briefs because they don't have enough help. So make sure they understand the pain that is out there with our federal judges. Very good. Lastly, we want to, again, answer any questions and convey a couple of other opportunities we have. I think, do we want to mention anything about that tour that's available, Bruce, for those that may have some spare time after they make their appointments?
Yeah, I think it might be best if we provide that information through an email,
okay,
Wes, rather than try to talk very knowledgeably about that now. But Kathy and I will work on that.
All right. My last point was to make sure you try to attend our debriefing at the end of the day. Not only are we going to have a potential guest who will speak very intelligently and is very informed about the nominations process, it's an opportunity for us to gather all the information that you received and the feedback you got from your legislators, and we incorporate that in all the work that we do overall. And so your feedback at the end of the day, which, again, if you've seen your packet, we're going to meet early at 106 Dirksen Senate Office Building and then gather back to that same room at the end of the day to debrief. Again, any questions so far?
One very, excuse me, very quick ministerial question. if we're the only person from our state, and our state obviously will have multiple individual congressmen and women, is it wise to start with the one whose district we live in, someone who's on the right committee, just cover as many as we can? Can you give us some advice on the plan of attack there?
Go ahead, Bruce.
Good question. Yeah, good question. My advice to you would be to certainly establish a top three. That would be the two senators and the congressman from your or woman from your own district.
Yep. Okay.
And beyond that, if there are any other in the, on the House side, any members who are from your state but are the members of either the Judiciary Committee or the Appropriations Financial Services and General Government Subcommittee of the House, to try to reach out to them as well.
Very good. Thank you. That helps.
Good.
I'll add to that. In my experience, meeting with the senators and their staff is always the first priority.
Yep.
And in particular, if you're a member of your Senate group is on Judiciary Committee or in leadership, because that's where, especially the majority minority leaders, they really dictate what happens in the United States Senate. Of course, the majority leader is the one, and that's where the rubber meets the road. That's why there is a slow process right now. Frankly, the truth is Senator McConnell is not pushing perhaps hard enough to say we're going to stay over the weekend, and Schumer and others are definitely engaging in what the Republicans did as well. We all admit that it's gone back and forth. But there's, you know, when you say I won't even allow a vote for someone who everybody agrees is the right person, even irrespective of your political bent, if you can't get those people through without slow walking, there's going to be a, you know, 30-hour vote on every single person. That's a problem, and that's where we are right now. So those that are meeting with leadership, you really can convey some testimony to say, look, this is hurting people, hurting justice, hurting my clients, and just talk with them about why are they doing this? Why can't we do better? Those are the most meaningful meetings. Very good. I think we're coming to the conclusion. Bruce, anything else from the packet or to discuss before we close?
Only to hold myself open and available to all of you. If you have any questions between now and Capitol Hill Day, to feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call. And I think my contact coordinates are there in the emails that have been sent to you already on Capitol Hill Day, and we can follow up and provide those to you once again.
We look forward to seeing everyone. Most of you have probably been to D.C. a few times before. It's an easy Uber drive or even a train ride to close by to Capitol Hill from wherever you're staying. Most of you probably will be staying with at the hotel for the FBA. We might arrange, and through Kathy and others, we'll talk to National about perhaps having a group go together from the hotel. But it's a pretty easy ride to get over to Capitol Hill. We'll look forward to seeing all of you between 8 and 9 a.m. as we gather for that first meeting and photograph, starting our meeting off in the morning. And then again, we'll gather in the afternoon back at the Dirksen office, Senate office building. I think that about covers it, Bruce. Any other questions?
Can I just...
Yes, go ahead.
Does somebody ask? Did somebody want to ask a question?
Which question?
I wanted to see if anybody came in after we did roll call.
Oh, excellent. Can we have anybody that did not give us their name early on because it came in late go ahead and introduce themselves so we can write these down for our record keeping?
Rob Rando.
Thanks, Rob.
Mike Vitale,
Herbert Holt. Mike, go first. What state are you from?
Mike Vitale, Orlando, Florida.
And one more?
Joe Kroger, Tucson, Arizona.
Very good. Anyone else?
This is Dana Herbert Holt from Idaho.
Kathy, you got all those?
I think so. Kroger, what did you say your first name is?
It's Joseph, but it's Jason on the materials, on the handout.
Okay. There's been a lot of confusion over whether you're Joseph or Jason, and I'm not sure what's going on with that, so I'm going to get that fixed. I'm sorry.
No,
I don't
problem.
Know why. I don't know how.
Jason is
I don't
my
know why that's happening.
Maybe, I don't know if, yeah, Jason's the Phoenix representative, and that may have had something to do with it.
Glad to clear that up, Joe.
Okay. And then I got Rob Rando, right?
Right. I'll be from the Eastern District of New York as well as the Intellectual Property Law section.
Okay. Have you registered yet?
As I was on the call, yes.
Oh, okay, because I didn't have you on the list. I just wanted to check. Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Last but not least, if any of you have friends or others in the FBA that you know, especially whose senators are on the Senate Judiciary Committee or in leadership, encourage them to go. Tell them I'm going to be there. Come with us, and let's get them signed up, and we can all the more the better on Capitol Hill Day. We'd welcome them. We are glad, again, you're on the call. Thanks again for taking up so much an hour here in the afternoon. We appreciate that very much. We look forward to seeing all of you for the memory you'll have. Some of you, it's repeating the memory. Well, we usually have a little testimony of someone or one or two that have done it before. I will note that we've had some wise counsel come from those testimonies, including wear good shoes, do the practical things. You'll walk a lot more than you were expecting. That's always true on Capitol Hill Day. Okay, anything else before we close? Bruce?
Oh, thank you very much, everybody, for joining the call today. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Agreed. Thanks, everyone. Well, during the call, thank you for your time. We'll see everybody.
Hi, this is Dana. I'm sorry I missed your call. Please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
Perfect timing. We'll see everybody in a few weeks. Have a good afternoon.
Hang up or press pound for more options. To send this message, press pound or hang up. To play it, 3. To re-record it, 4. To add to it, 5. To discard it, 6. To send this message, press pound or hang up. To play it, 3. To re-record it, 4. To add to it, 5. To discard it, 6. Your message has been sent. If you would like to try an extension, you may do so now. Goodbye.